Joe Worthing, who is the executive director of Project Moses, and as you can probably ascertain from the title or the name of the organization, it is a faith-based organization. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. But your organization is out right now doing some work in preparation of the Thanksgiving holiday. And can you just tell us a little bit about what your objectives were and if you met them and what maybe people can do to help out?
Well, I tell you, we just spent the last 3 days on the parking lot at Crossroads Mall, and none of this was on my radar screen 10 days ago. As executive director of Project Moses, we're not food drives, but I had heard a comment on the radio about how the need at food pantries across the country is and yet the giving is way down. And so I called a friend of mine because the program is called Stuff the Bus, and I called Kurt Simon over at Metro Transit. And I'm busy. We're working on a national memorial in Washington, D.C. to Moses and the Ten Commandments, and I was kind of hoping he'd say, Joe, we just can't lend you a bus. But wouldn't you know it, Kurt said, yeah, that's a great idea, Joe. We'll lend you a bus.
Wow. So hey, that's kind of sweet.
So then I made another phone call, and I figured, where should we do it? I said, well, Crossroads is a good visibility place. And so I called Crossroads, and I was kind of hoping they'd say, no, you can't do it because it's November and December. And lo and behold, I talked with the gentleman there, and he says, well, we don't normally lend it out in November and December because of Christmas shoppers, but this is a good reason to do it, so let's do it.
Oh, that's cool. I drove by you guys a couple of times, and I am ashamed that I did not stop in. But what were you asking people to do?
Well, we were simply asking people to donate non-perishable food items for both the Open Door Mission and the St. Vincent de Paul food pantries. Both of these food pantries help literally thousands of people every month. And it's a crying shame that we have so many needy people here in the metro. And I just figured if we put a bus out there and we get the word out, and I was very happy with the media coverage, all of you guys. I mean, TV and radio did a fantastic job of getting the word out that we were there. We literally just closed down. We were there from 7 a.m. on Thursday to 3 o'clock today. And I'm right now down at 21st and Cummings, where they just pulled their $360,000 brand new Metro bus that's chock full of food for the needy into their main terminal building, and St. Vincent de Paul and Open Door Mission are here loading their trucks up to take it back to their respective food pantries. And so I want to thank everybody in Omaha who stopped by. But with that being said, you can still give to these food pantries. I'm not sure of the phone number at the Open Door Mission, but you can find them on the website. I know the St. Vincent de Paul phone number is 402-341-1688. And I'll tell you why I know that number so well, you guys. Project Moses is listed as a charity in the phone book, and that's largely because we're a 501c3 and people do make tax-deductible gifts to us. But we get, especially in the last 6 months, we have been receiving 1 to 5 phone calls every week from someone saying, hey, I need help with utilities, I need help with my rent. Do you guys do that? And I say no, but I do know that St. Vincent de Paul does help people with their rent and utility checks when they're in dire straits. And so I literally have their phone number memorized because that's how many calls I get at Project Moses from needy people looking for help, and I turn them over to St. Vincent de Paul. And so when I got this idea 10 days ago to do a food drive, I naturally called them up and said, goodness gracious, I've been sending so many needy people your way. Why don't I send some food to your food pantry by hosting a food drive?
Hey, in the realm of the 501c3s, is it normal nowadays? Is this what we're seeing happen throughout the country? And I don't know if you can address that at a national level, but it sounds like you guys might be having a little bit more difficult time getting donations, and certainly these other outfits that you've helped out have also been having a hard time. Is that the trend? Is it because of the economy?
It's a trend. I'll tell you what generally happens. It's not that giving decreases to nonprofits. What happens is if you are in difficult financial times, as we are in our economy today, large donors who would normally give to national nonprofits such as Project Moses, as giving decreases in their local communities, they take away the money they normally give to a national nonprofit, and they say, you know what? We kind of need to circle the wagons here at home. And so If you talk to most churches, for example, their giving has actually been sustained or even higher than it's been in previous years. Of course, they're doing much more charitable work for those people that have been hurt economically. But the national nonprofits like the Red Cross or someone like Project Moses, who does work on a national scale, not just a local scale, when we go to top donors, they say, you know what? With the economy the way it is, I'd love to help you, but I got to help my parish. I got to help the local emergency pregnancy center that we donate to because their giving is off a little bit, so I'm trying to make up for the shortfall. So that's kind of the trend in a down economy. It makes it really tough for a national nonprofit such as Project Moses. But, guys, we've been blessed. I mean, we've been putting up Ten Commandment monuments for the last 8 years on private property, but for public viewing. They're 5 feet, 4 inches tall, and we make them in all three numbering traditions. I heard that there was someone from the ACLU saying that there are some faiths that are offended when a different numbering tradition is put up, and that's false. I mean, that's patently false. That's a very shallow argument. The numbering traditions used by Catholics and Lutherans is referred to as the St. Augustine numbering tradition. The numbering tradition used by our Jewish brothers and sisters are known as the Jewish numbering tradition. And then most of the Protestant evangelical world uses what's called the King James numbering tradition. These are simply teaching tools that are used in Sunday school and catechesis and things of that nature. Really, all of these numbering traditions come from two places, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And everybody's Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 reads the same. So to say that Catholics, Protestants, and Jews can't even agree on what the Ten Commandments are is blatantly false.
Yeah, I was wondering about that when she mentioned that, because I'd never heard of any contention between religious groups or sects that pointed out a discrepancy in the Ten Commandments. I mean, that just seems pretty simplistic. It's 1 through 10.
Well,
and they're pretty good.
And I'll give you the breakdown. I mean, you know, it's interesting. As a teaching, there's actually 613 commandments, which most people don't know.
But that didn't fit on the two tablets.
Well, they're called mitzvot, and they all fit within the Ten Commandments that we all know. And so, you know, the proper word is decalogue, or 10 words, or 10 sayings, not commandments, but some things have been lost in the translation over the years. But you know, really, the Catholics and Lutherans use the St. Augustine numbering tradition. And the first commandment, obviously, is, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other. And because of that, they did not include in that first sentence, therefore you shall not make unto yourself any graven images. Obviously, if you don't have any other gods, you're not going to be making graven images. Well, after the Reformation in the 16th century, as Protestants were trying to separate themselves from the Catholic world.
Causing trouble. Those troublemakers.
Because of the mistaken notion of statuary and images within Catholic churches, some Protestants went to the extreme to say that those are graven images and also to set themselves apart. They expanded the first commandment into two commandments. So their second commandment would be, you shall not make unto yourself any graven images. Well, because they did that, and to keep the number at 10, they had to condense the last two commandments into you shall not. And so that's why these things happen. But the long and the short of it is, they didn't change Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, where the Ten Commandments reside in Scripture. What we're talking about is what was used to teach children the basics of the faith. And so there really is no discrepancy.
Okay, and also, she was arguing for that the ACLU wouldn't prefer that those things be done publicly, and I think that they have at least a reasonable argument for that. But in the case of private property, nobody can stop you from putting those up, and for which I commend you. I mean, you guys obviously have a fervent belief in the commandments and that those will help us, generally speaking, apparently, and you guys are doing the work. I think it's fun.
Whenever I debate an atheist, I start off by asking them, with respect to the commandments, which of the 10 do you want your neighbors breaking on a regular basis?
The first one.
You know? Because
it's more
them,
fun.
Well, you know what? I say to them, I said, if that's true, then you're not even paying attention to medical science, because medical science has proven definitively that people who believe in a higher power, pray to it on a regular basis, and believe in an afterlife, they get sick less frequently. When they are sick, they're sick for a shorter period of time, and they are happier.
Joe, is this scientifically proven somewhere?
That is scientifically proven. My father was the health director for Omaha Douglas County Health Department for 18 years. If you look at most of your children's birth certificates, you'll see my father's name on there.
Uh-huh.
And he went to conference after conference after conference in the 80s and the 90s where they're saying, hey, let's not discount all of this spiritual stuff because
someday we're going to have you on, because it would be a fun discussion just if we could get an atheist in here too, just to talk about that, because boy, that can rile some feathers. And I think in the case that you were making, you'd have to demonstrate that there's a causal relationship between belief and that people are happier and wiser. I mean, you cite some studies, and they are true, but whether or not they are actually indicative of God existing, that would be a fun conversation. But Joe, thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're
thanks for the
welcome.
Work that you did, and thank you for feeding the people, the homeless people down there at St. Vincent de Paul and the Open Door Mission. Great organizations, and you for coming up with the idea. Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome. Send people to projectmoses.com if they want more information.
All right, Joe.
What was that website?
ProjectMoses.com.
ProjectMoses.com. Fantastic.
Yep.
Thanks.